and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Liar! Liar! You're lying! Liar!
No,
Illegal immigrant! Liar!
I'm Stephanie Miller, so it is this.
Okay. Nazis! Death pounds! Liar!
Okay. 6 minutes after the hour. It is. It's 6 minutes after the hour.
You
already
done a little skit.
1-800-STEPH-12.
You lie! You lie!
Okay, I got it. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller.
I could add Joe Wilson to the liar cannon.
There you go.
All right. Jim, let's see. Who said, this is very apropos, who said many members of Congress, including myself, will not support a health insurance reform bill that does not break the stranglehold of private insurance companies on our health care system? That requires that consumers have a choice of a robust public health insurance plan. I will support nothing short of a robust public health insurance plan. Upon implementation, no triggers. I believe Congress will pass and the President will sign such a bill this fall. Who said that?
Genghis Khan.
A spectacularly bad guess. Our very favorite Congresswoman, Jan Schakowsky, from the great state of Illinois. Thank God she's not... Oh. Who is it, Chris?
Representative Jan Schakowsky from the great state of Illinois.
What are the odds?
Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. What a start.
We're off to a rollicking start.
I'll say.
I have never seen, this was like a deaf comedy jam or something. People screaming at the president during a joint session of Congress.
Well, you know, John Dingell, who's been here more than 50 years, said that he had never seen anything like that. I mean, it's just like not done. Stephanie,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
The thing that is also really odd is he must have believed that. The president was saying that this bill does not include benefits for undocumented immigrants.
Right.
And he yelled, "You lied." And so he must really think that in the bill it says, even though it doesn't, that the benefits will go to undocumented immigrants.
Right. It says specifically the opposite. It not only is not in the bill, it specifically in the bill says no coverage will be extended to illegal immigrants.
No.
I know.
So he's like, he thinks that.
Well, wait, I mean, Congresswoman, even his apology is like, well, I disagree with the president, but I apologize for the... It's like, no. There's no agreeing or disagreeing.
Exactly.
It's either in the bill or it's not. You know, I mean, it really was stunning, wasn't it?
It really was. And, of course, everybody thought so. So they, put his arm in a, whatever you call it, behind his back and made him apologize right away.
Well, but, I mean, I have to say, in some weird way, I'm sort of glad it happened because I thought this was a perfect illustration, isn't it, of what this, debate has become. Here's the president doing, I thought, a masterful job explaining the health bill, and you've got he's like some goon at a town hall screaming at the president of the United States right to his face.
Yeah, they unleashed something really... I don't know about dangerous, but it crossed a certain line of behavior, and it did extend now into the House chamber in a joint session. It was very odd. Everybody thought so.
Wow, and very bright, being as he may not have been aware these things are televised. So
oh, yeah.
That someone might be able to tell that it was him.
Yeah. No, he couldn't control himself. Lost it.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Well, Congresswoman, I'm an Obama fan, as you are, but I thought he couldn't really have done better. Could you?
We had a good night last night. That was very good. It was wonderful. It was the man that we all were inspired by during the campaign. He came back last night. And,
I think many of us were shouting at the TV, and I mean, I was box wine fueled, but still, I think a lot of people, went into this. I mean, some of us, look, as you know, on the liberal side, are disgruntled. I know on the press conference he gave not too long ago, and we're not ones that every time say, oh, he did great, but last night was, I don't know what more you could have hoped for.
Right. It was great. We, even on the public option, he explained it. He was for it. I think he's going to fight for it. Yeah, you know, he tipped his hat to, you know, maybe there's some other ideas, but I really got the feeling that we really are going to end up with it, because after he talked about trigger co-ops, he said, but, you know, he wanted everybody to be clear that he will not back down from providing a health insurance choice he can afford.
Yeah, Congresswoman, I just read your quote, but I have to say, I was really heartened by that as somebody that is also like you, you know, wants a strong public plan option, because, you know, he almost like, don't you feel like that was smart? He called them out. He said, you got a better idea, bring it. And he, knowing that they don't, and they haven't.
Although they were waiving something or other.
What was that?
Plans or something, some papers that I saw one of the Republicans handed to him as he left the chamber. Like, he'll look at it and say, why didn't I think of that?
Maybe were they just mimeograph sheets that said you lie, or what was on them?
I don't know what was on them. I'm sure something really profound, like we're going to stay with the private insurance companies that have been so good to us.
Right. Well, I mean, this is what we've been talking about, Congresswoman, is that I just, you know, I'm sort of trying to get my head around, you know, when you hear the trigger or the public, you know, the cooperatives, it just does not seem to me like those are a meaningful public option.
No. No, a trigger, you know, you can't start overnight. Let's say this trigger goes off, which is an iffy proposition to start with, but let's say the insurance companies in Illinois keep raising their rates, and on January 1st there's supposed to be a public option. It's not that easy. It doesn't really work. Co-ops, it takes years for them to be set up. They're very small. They're usually government subsidized in the first place. So, these are not viable alternatives. So I think we're really going to get a bill at the end of the day. Even the Senate, I think it's a possibility that they'll pass something that has a public option. We'll see. But I think the final bill on his desk will have one.
Well, that's what I had, you know, really new hope last night with that. I really did. I felt like he did such a good job explaining, you know, what's in the bill and all the important parts of it. And, I thought in language that all of us could understand, right, about pre-existing conditions and about getting dropped if you're sick. And I thought it was pretty clear.
The other thing is at the end, and this is the part I really loved, he raised it from beyond just another program to talking about it as a moral issue, as reflecting the character of the United States of America, that we don't leave our people to suffer. We're all in this together. This could happen to anyone. It's about our character that we take care of each other. And you know, that put it in when he lifts it to a new level, I think is when he really grabs the hearts, not just the minds of the people and hopefully of members of Congress as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was someone that, you know, went into it kind of disgruntled on as you know, on the liberal side. And I, you know, the whole thing, I really was moved. I mean, even the Ted Kennedy letter, I just I thought the whole thing was, you know, just so from the heart.
It was great. It was really great. I think that, you know, the Republicans were talk about disgruntled. You know, he really hit it out of the park. Oh, I hate that expression.
I know. And you know what? I knew I wouldn't be able to help myself from using it today.
I couldn't help it. There it was. but you know what I mean. It was at the end of it, you know, a lot of us were, you know, high-fiving each other. Like,
I know.
This is what we were waiting for.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but on TV, Congresswoman, just the visual, you know, here's this Republican screaming names at the President of the United States. You got Eric Cantor on his BlackBerry. You've got, you know, John Boehner looking like he's going to throw up. It's like, you know, it really was just a visual of what this debate has become.
I don't know if the visual came through of he really stared down the Republicans.
Yep.
I mean, he had this look of determination, very serious at them. You know, he didn't blink. And just the exuberance from
And I love the part about, if you misrepresent this, we're going to call you out. I mean,
and
that was...
Yeah, we leapt to our feet. The other thing you may not have noticed, it looked like there were a few of the Republicans that were standing pretty often. Those are three of our guys who do that during these joint sessions. They go over and sit among the Republicans.
Oh, okay.
Because they can't throw you out. You know, these seats aren't... So it's just... kind of to annoy them, so that they stand up and clap, you know?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was hypnotized by Hillary's red pantsuit. I couldn't really see anything else, but...
I had a red suit on, trying to compete there, too. Yeah.
You gals.
Yeah.
Congresswoman, thanks, as always, for taking time for us. And you, by the way, look delightful in the middle of the night on Ed Schultz's show. What the hell time was that, East Coast?
Thank you. I did my own makeup. How about that?
Wow.
You're going to have to help me with mine next time.
Okay.
I'll be on Ed's show on Friday, so I'll have to stop by to have you do my makeup.
Good. I'll do it.
All right. Representative Dan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois. Thanks so much, Congresswoman.
Thanks.
All right. There she goes. Love her.
Yay. She's great.
Yeah, that was the coverage. I had one eye open. I'm like, I don't know what time it is, but great. In the Isn't It Ironic file, I got to say it, Jim, did it not occur to you? I thought, you know, not only has this never been done, but ironically the time that maybe it should have been is when George Bush was giving his little WMD speech.
Isn't it ironic?
Perhaps someone...
Don't you think?
Liar!
Might have mentioned...
You lie!
...that he was sending thousands of Americans to their death based on
a lie.
Pack of lies.
At least no one threw a shoe at President Obama last night.
Jeff in D.C.
He would have thrown it back.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
That was so calculated last night. They had that plan because they wanted to make themselves the story this morning. That was so...
Jeff, thank you. First of all, we were saying that he has a they all have a copy of the speech.
Right.
So he's like, oh, I got emotional. It's like he knew exactly what the president was going to say. Oh, well, all right. He'll take no further questions then. Stop. He's a busy man. All right. What am I thinking that he has time for us this morning? All right. Loved one of the opening lines.
So tonight, I return to speak to all of you about an issue that is central to that future, and that is the issue of health care. I'm not the first president to take up this cause, but I am determined to be the last.
Okay. All right. The president.
Nothing in our plan requires you to change what you have.
Thank you.
What this plan will do is make the insurance you have work better for you. Under this plan, it will be against the law for insurance companies to deny you coverage because of a pre-existing condition.
I thought, well, you mooks, you haven't chimed in yet. I just thought it was amazing.
I thought it was a very, very good speech. I don't think it's going to change any Republican minds.
Well,
but I think that Wilson did more to galvanize Democrats than Obama's speech did last night.
Yep.
Yeah.
Twitter and Facebook just exploded last night.
Exactly. Like, these are the people you're going to try and...
Right.
Compromise with, really? This is the bipartisanship you're reaching out for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first time in the history of that chamber that someone has yelled a name at the President of the United States to his face?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what side of the aisle you're on, you really think that's okay? 20 minutes after the hour, back with more of our reaction and yours to the President's big healthcare speech last night as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Joe Courtney, Democrat of the great state of Connecticut, coming up in just a few minutes on the Celebrity Hotline. Next hour, Gerald McEntee, the president of the biggest, what do you call it, union for government employees.
Government employees union, yeah.
Love him.
Yes.
Salt of the earth, had him on before.
Yes.
next hour, along with Representative Lynn Woolsey and then Representative Russ Carnahan in hour number three, a jam-packed Celebrity Hotline.
Jim Plack. What? You lie!
there could be so many celebrities that there is plaque forming in the phone line. Shut up! Okay. Let's go to Stephanie in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hello.
Well, you know, last night, the president's address, it was so fantastic. I mean, I feel so inspired. I feel like going out door to door and campaigning for him.
Yeah, all over again. Let's do it again. Yes, we can.
And I'm just shaking and so emotional about it. But I just want to point out one other thing.
Yeah, I mean, you were thinking, that's the guy I voted for, right? I literally was like shouting at the TV at a couple points.
That's the guy I walked 10 miles for, at least, probably more.
Right.
You know, when sometimes my fibro hurts so bad I can't even walk. But I did it because I believed in him. It was the first president I really believed in. And he did it.
Yep.
So, but that turkey last night, that's clearly a sign of racism. I don't know. I know it's crazy.
Right.
But why? Who else would do that? Would anyone do that if it was white? I mean,
first of all, it's the first time that anybody can remember in our history that that's even happened. So, yeah, you figure it out yourself.
Well, yeah.
Congressman from the South, I don't know.
It's disgraceful.
And by the way, if you'd like to donate to his opponent.
Yeah, I put a link up in my Twitter feed, which you can find on the front page of StephanieMiller.com.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. Rob Miller.
I call out to everybody, let's go campaign against that guy.
Yep.
I'll put 10 miles on for him.
All right, honey. Thank you.
Rob Miller has attracted $100,000 since Joe Wilson's outburst last night.
Miller, no relation.
No, any relation, no. Stephanie?
If it will help him, yes.
If not, no.
All right. Patrick in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. I'm livid. I'm just so upset. I mean, the speech last night was fantastic. He summed it up by saying that this defines the country's character. And I think what we saw last night was the character of the GOP.
Yep.
Well,
yeah, if it was hard for you to pick out the good guys and bad guys last night, you know, I mean, that it was a perfect illustration almost, wasn't it?
Exactly. I watched Bush in that same hall tell us that we were going to witness a mushroom cloud, okay? He knew he was lying.
Yep.
He knew he was lying. And my representatives stood there and showed him respect. Why? Because he is the president of the United States. Obama,
though technically a war criminal, but
Obama,
and yet there was no yelling.
Joe Wilson insulted my president.
Yep.
He needs to apologize on the floor of the Senate. Also, I'd like to point out the only thing the GOP respects, they obviously don't respect the presidency. The only thing they respect is money. Joe Wilson's district includes Hilton Head, South Carolina. This winter, avoid going to Hilton Head.
There you go.
Vote with your pocketbook. Send this guy a message. Give Rob Miller $10. Put him over the $1 million mark.
All right. Thank you, honey. Yeah, and oh, by the way, here's a little an added fun fact.
What?
I guess he's in the reserves of the National Guard.
He's a colonel in the Army Reserves.
Uh-huh.
And under the Code of Military Justice,
uh-huh,
he can be court-martialed for his little outburst.
Ha-ha! 28 minutes after the hour, right back with Representative Joe Courtney of the great state of Connecticut next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, I thought you were cool last night.
I do rock.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I know how exciting the president's speech last night was, just yelling in my living room. I can't even imagine if you were actually in the chamber. Yes, Jim. Who is it? Or Chris?
It's Representative Joe Courtney from the great state of Connecticut.
Thank you. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
It's okay to yell at the television in support of the president rather than yell insults to his face, right?
Absolutely. And hopefully everybody who was doing that then will
text their member of Congress and call their member of Congress and tell them, you know, you got to get behind them. And that's like you and I have said many times. This thing is, you know, it's a street fight, and people got to, you know, get involved.
Well, boy, that was never more apparent than last night. I've never seen anything like that. Have you, this Joe Wilson yelling liar at the president?
Yeah, it was, you know, State of the Union addresses, you know, people stand up, sit down, clap, you know, cheer sometimes, but, you know, hurling, you know, really almost libelous insults is a new low. It's, you know, the guy obviously knew he messed up with an immediate apology, but frankly, I think there are more shoes that are going to drop here.
Right.
Because, you know, an apology is not good enough in terms of, you know, what's going to happen in the future. And I really, there was, people were just absolutely stunned when it happened. And this guy, his office is across the hall from me in Cannon office building. I mean, the TV crews, by the way, are camped out from one end of the hall to the other.
Yeah.
The door, the lights were off, and the door was locked.
Yeah.
About half an hour ago. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you know, you guys all, as we've said, Congressman, you all had a copy of the speech to make it sound like, yeah, this was some just spontaneous emotional outburst that he apologizes for. First of all, he says, "I disagree with the president." There's no agreeing or disagreeing. What he said was an outright lie. It
right.
is not in the bill. You know, nothing covers illegal immigrants.
That's correct. And it's, you know, the lame sort of comebacks that we've heard is that, well, you know, providers aren't going to be able to verify people's nationality. Well, you know, they don't do that for public. You know, this is a government-administered program, premium subsidies. You know, that's something you have to verify when you apply for the benefit. So it's just a red herring. It's out there, you know.
Right. And that's why, Congressman, I thought the president just did such a good job, because as we've said, there is one set of facts. Then people of, you know, of good conscience can argue about what the right way, you know, yep, to go about health care reform is. But you know, the president was very clear in saying, we are going to call you out on just complete lies like this. I was glad he said the word lies, you know.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Patrick Moynihan once said it very well, which is that, you know, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own set of facts. And,
right,
and that's really what I think the president was trying to get the discussion, you know, back to. And obviously the overnight polls showed that the speech worked. You know, his numbers jumped up dramatically. And but you know,
did it? I haven't seen early numbers, but I assume that would be the case. As you know,
yeah,
yesterday there was this 52% disapproval thing, and everyone was, oh God, hand wringing. And I'm just saying, boy, nobody has ever made money counting this president out, have they?
No, that's right. I mean, it's when the pressure's on, this guy, you know, just come through like you know, camp every time.
Well, you know, and poor Congressman Wilson, just with the look on Nancy Pelosi's face alone, I thought he may turn to stone. And it's good thing he has that fancy government health insurance program. Because I don't know what happens when you petrify, but that's going to take some cash.
Right.
Oh boy. So where are we now, do you think? I know that, you know, certainly everybody I've talked to, with the reaction I've seen, people are just re-energized. I thought the speech just could not have gone better. What was your take on it, and the, you know,
yeah,
the feeling in the room?
Again, the you know, we had a caucus early in the day yesterday, and you know, the good news is that people who, like myself, went through a lot of town halls and you know, some pretty rough exchanges out there. Really, my take in terms of the feedback during caucus was that people really were not intimidated by it. That and what was so impressive in particular was a lot of the freshman members who, you know, really have been walking through a ring of fire here in,
yep,
in their first 7 months in office. You know, were the ones that were still very, very determined. You know, they had some, you know, some changes that they wanted to talk about and discuss. But in terms of the fundamental goal here of getting a bill done, you know, I did not see a lot of real backsliding. And certainly the speech last night, hopefully, is going to buttress that feeling. And you know, you and I have talked a number of times about how, you know, LBJ showed us the way as an executive, you know, leading a strong majority when Medicare passed. And I think, you know, the president, and it looks like he gets that, is going to follow up this speech now by getting, you know, deeply involved, lining up votes, you know, getting his fingerprints on the bill, which so far, you know, they had followed a different path here. But, you know, we're going to have, I think, both chambers ready with bills on the floor once Finance Committee sends something out, whatever it is, at least they get it out of the committee.
Yep. And then
the real debate, you know, is going to really kick in.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there were some brilliant moments, didn't you? First of all, he, you know, pointed out all of the Republican senators that have worked with Ted Kennedy on other things, called them out, you know, what it cited one of John McCain's ideas on health care reform that's in this bill, you know, his opponent. Then he talked about this whole fiscal conservative thing. I love that part, didn't you, about the Bush tax cuts? It's like you voted for the Bush tax cuts that cost twice as much as the health care bill, and it wasn't paid for. The health care bill is paid for.
And that's just for starters. I mean, obviously the wars and then the prescription drug benefit they passed with no pay for, which, you know, obviously hit this guy with a $1 trillion hole the first day he walked into office.
Yep.
He also threw a sort of kudo to Bush's malpractice projects that will be implemented on a state basis. I mean, you know, so any reasonable person watching that knows that this guy is open to talking to people even on the other side of the aisle. And I think, frankly, if the numbers are as good as what we're seeing in the overnight polls, that's why. Because this was a reasonable person who really just wants to fix a problem and not score political points.
Yeah, no, I absolutely, that's what I was trying to be, you know, just an objective observer last night, Congressman, and that's what I thought. I can't imagine anybody on either side of the aisle, a reasonable person, not really, you know, this speech not really speaking to them. It seemed to answer a lot of the major questions, didn't it? It seemed, you know, and believe me, I went into it as somebody, as a liberal that was kind of agitated.
Yep. Well, it's... As I said, I think the caucus walked away last night feeling very positive. In his close, by the way, where he cited Ted Kennedy's amazing life and commitment to this issue was brilliant. And I think, you know, as Democrats, you know, what more could we need in terms of, a rallying cry about why we've got to just pull together here.
And, I've heard from, a number of people now, about the president's just, if you were in the room, that determination. I think it was Senator Boxer I saw last night, who's a good friend of his, who just said great speech. And he didn't say thank you he said, let's get it done.
Yep.
He was so on point. I just thought it was a real turning point, didn't you?
Yep. No, they'll be writing history books about what happened last night. And again, there's more history to be written, and we've got to, not take the victory lap too early here. But I think he's kind of rebooted the whole sort of effort, and it needed it after August. And your show and your listeners, again, can really be part of this, too, in terms of making sure that, this momentum doesn't sort of just fizzle out.
Yep, let's get it, as the president says, get it done. The only person I feel badly for last night is a former Ambassador Joe Wilson, whose name has now been tarnished once again forever. First he was smeared by the Bush administration, and now he will never get his good name back. All right,
He's a tough guy. He can handle it.
Yeah, he can.
Representative Joe Courtney of the great state of Connecticut, thanks for taking time for us, Congressman.
Okay, thanks, Steph.
All right. There he goes.
And did you see the look on Wilson's face, too, in the crowd there? It was like looking...
It's just unbridled anger.
Yeah, it was looking through the holes of the hood.
Yeah, like just deliverance.
You want to hear banjos in the background. Yeah. It was just clear, just pure racial hatred there.
It was literally like one of those thugs at the town halls, just that you always make fun of, just yelling incomprehensible...
Hitler! Nazi! Commie! Aliens!
Yeah, the look at Nancy Pelosi's face, priceless.
Yeah. She's like, who the F is that?
I may be 3 feet tall, but I will go over there.
She was going to go spanking.
She was.
I will bitch slap you into the next election cycle, my friend.
Get out the wooden spoon and whack him on the
It was a metal spoon.
Oh, metal.
That was like one of the nuns from my Catholic school. That froze my heart for a moment. 43 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the president's big speech and the reaction as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So much fun, it should be illegal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Time. Can't
touch this. Yo, sound the bell. School is in, sucker. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. Break it down.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You lie! You lie!
No, really, I am...
Stephanie Miller.
I have ID. Republicans are done. We will continue. 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to us. Oh, maybe
oh,
not.
Oh, no.
Maybe later.
Oh, yeah.
Diane in Jacksonville, Florida. Hello, Diane.
Good morning. I am so happy and so excited. I want to get partial credit, however, because I wrote to the president a couple of weeks ago, right after Senator Kennedy died, and I said, you know, we've got to move forward with this. You need to be the new lion up in Washington. And I think he took my advice.
It was like a touching Lion King episode or something.
Awesome?
You
it
did it.
Great. The other thing I wanted, a couple of observations from the audience. Chuck Schumer, talk about a kid in a candy store. Did you watch him? He was jumping out of his seat.
Yeah, he looked happy.
On the radio.
Well, that was the difference. The Democrats looked really happy. The Republicans
really
looked
happy.
Like they all had some sort of gastrointestinal distress. Did you see the look on the boner's face? That was... And what a twit Eric Cantor is. He's on his BlackBerry the whole time.
And
what's more important? The President of the United States is speaking live directly to you a few feet away. Is there something more important you got
to
do?
Yeah, Eric Cantor didn't listen to a single word of the President's speech last night, yet Hannity had Eric Cantor on to give his reaction to the speech.
Which he didn't listen to.
Which he had already BlackBerried to Hannity while the President was speaking. Yeah.
God, just rude little children.
I know.
Nancy Pelosi needs to give them all a spanking.
Exactly. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey.
Hello, buddy.
Hey, let's just go do a little fun stack. You're a good guy out in California, Mr. Duval.
He likes the spanking.
Oh, why, hang on. Let me go down the stack a little bit. I'm sorry. You speak of one of the... all right. This is a Republican from out here in California who apparently, buddy, very vocal about Prop 8. You know, the gays messing up the morality of the marriage and all. Would you like to tell the story? Go ahead.
No, it's just the thing that got me is he must really love Joe Wilson today. Because Joe Wilson knocked him off the front page.
Exactly. All right, honey. Yes, come on down. Republican Assemblyman Mike Duval. Okay, thank you. he resigned. He's a Republican Assemblyman from out here in California.
Yes.
After revelations that he described lewd details of two sexual affairs at a televised committee hearing.
Republicans and cameras.
Yeah, not so much. Hey, Joe Wilson, you're on camera, you moron. Duval, who is married.
Oh, dear.
What?
Family values.
He was caught on tape in an Assembly Appropriations Committee hearing relating lurid details about the affair. He describes his mistress's eye patch underwear, boasts about the 18-year age difference between the two, and shares some dicey details, including, so I'm getting into spanking her. Yeah, I like it. I like spanking her. She goes, I know you like spanking me. I said, yeah, because you're such a bad girl.
Oh, God.
Have you seen his picture?
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Oof. Oh,
yikes.
My. The married assemblyman also refers to an affair with a second woman.
Huh.
She's hot. I talked to her yesterday. She goes, are we finished? I go, no, we're not finished. I go, you know about the other one, but she doesn't know about you.
Oh, my God.
Your Republican family values,
I guess,
ladies and gentlemen.
I guess power isn't aphrodisiac, because...
And are you ready? Because the apology is always better than the actual thing. Okay. He said, I deeply regret the comments I made in what I believe to be a private conversation.
Ah, well.
Except that it was a televised committee hearing, so you're kind of a dope. But okay, wait for it. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
This is a private matter, and I ask
not
that everyone anymore. Respect the privacy of all involved, including the naughty little minx that likes to be spanked, and the other one.
With her eye patch underwear.
Yeah. Okay, so he talks about the two chicks he's banging on his marriage on television, but now he would like us all to respect the privacy of everybody involved.
Yeah.
Because that would be the right thing to do.
and he was afraid of the gays messing up his marriage.
Yes. Very big yes on Prop 8 person out here in California.
Maybe that's the next thing you should. The gays maybe do it.
Oh, these stories just write themselves, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
It's Republican Boobarama.
But he looks like the state puffed marshmallow
he
guy.
He really does.
And, you know, maybe if we mashup between Alan Hale Jr. and the Stay Puft Marshmallow guy.
Hey, and here's the other edition of Hey, Dopey, You're on TV. She doesn't know about you.
She does now. God, what an idiot.
Now she does.
Oh.
Let's go to Jill in Ithaca. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the President's Speech. Hello, Jill.
A glorious morning to you, Stephanie.
Glorious morning
to you. And the mooks, yes. I have a fantasy now. I listen to your show a lot, and this is my fantasy, that after we heard the evil Joe Wilson yell out his comment, we see Obama push a button, and out comes the computer says no.
Computer says no.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't you? I think from now on they should equip the president with like a little an ejector seat. Where it's
right.
Just, yeah, he can just push a button. And that person goes down in the dirt hole.
Yeah.
Well, where it puts the lotion on the skin.
Exactly. The silence of the Republicans.
Ejection seat would throw you the opposite
direction. Oh, okay. Either way. Yeah, they could be ejected through the roof or...
That was actually the ceiling crashing.
I hear them screaming. I hear the Republicans screaming.
It puts the lotion on its skin or gets the hose again.
Mark Foley's back. Katie in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi. Katie.
Hi.
Hello.
I am a recent college grad, unemployed, can't get insurance, and terrified something's going to happen to me to plunge my family into ruin. So I watched, you know, last night with my ears open. And I have to say, I came of age in awareness when, you know, under Bush's presidency. Oof. And, you know, months into Obama's, it's still the weirdest thing for me to actually like my president and what he's saying and what he's trying to do with the president. I mean, I was conditioned with Bush. Every time he said something, I knew it was bad and it was evil and it was just going to ruin the country. And it's still the weirdest thing to be inspired by my president and, you know, go yay and to the TV instead of boo.
It took me months to get over cringing whenever I heard someone say, talk about the president.
Oh,
it's the new guy. Oh, whew. Thank God.
All right, I'm in a good mood. Let's talk to crazy religious right-wing Scott in Massachusetts. Hi, Scott.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Miller and Mr. Ward. How are you?
Yes.
You know, it was surreal watching Barack Hussein Obama. I didn't believe anything coming from this black man. Consider him as a
because
communist.
He lies.
And what he basically said was a communist manifesto.
Uh-huh.
You know, he has black purple lips, and he lies because out of his lips.
Oops.
He has what?
My ejector button's working. Okay. All right.
Don't allow him on the air ever again, Stephanie. What is wrong with you?
Oh, boy. See, my ejection button is working. All right, let's go to Mike. Like, that's the worst decision I've made in my life. Whatever. Mike in Santa Barbara. No, or not. Look, people are hanging up on me now. How dare they? Let's go to Max in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hey, Max, welcome.
Yeah, Stephanie, a couple of questions. Number one, do you think it's a good idea to ignore the advice of the Congressional Budget Office that says this thing won't fly? And also...
Wait a minute. What are you referring to exactly?
Well,
I don't think those were the exact words of the Congressional Budget Office. This thing won't fly.
Well, they said that it wasn't going to save money like he said, that it was going to cost money.
That's there's no point in doing it then.
Yeah, we should stop now. You're right.
Just give up.
Okay. All right, let's go.
Yes, it's going to cost money. But in the long run, it's an investment, and we're going to save money.
It's like, those wars. Two wars didn't cost anything because the Bush administration wasn't counting it. It was outside of the budget, so it didn't technically exist.
Yeah. I mean, there's the moment when you flash back to that, to the speech about the WMD. And that's what's wrong with Democrats. Not only did they politely listen, they voted for it.
Yep.
It's
like, sorry. And that might have saved a few lives had someone brought up, sir.
And trillions of dollars.
It appears to me that you may be lying. All right, Union President Gerald McEntee next with his reaction to the president's speech and where we're going next with health care as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, you're a liar. You're just a liar. You always were.
No, I am. I'm
Stephanie Miller.
Sorry, never
mind. If and you ain't the granddaddy of all liars.
6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller.
That's me.
Representative Lynn Woolsey, Democrat of California, on the Celebrity Hotline next hour, along with Representative Russ Carnahan, Democrat of the great state of Missouri. A humdinger, a barn burner of a speech last night, the president.
We will place a limit on how much you can be charged for out-of-pocket expenses, because in the United States of America, no one should go broke because they get sick.
That's communistical.
White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs.
We're closer than ever before to getting health care reform passed into law and helping the American people. I'm not going to second guess in any way the way we've done this because, again, we're closer than we've ever been before.
Perhaps, just perhaps, Jim, Mama's right yet again, and that is the president's playing chess and the rest of us are playing
chess.
Well,
I think Hal Sparks had a right with the rope-a-dope thing. He was going to let them make absolute fools of themselves.
Yes, thank you, Joe Wilson.
Then, yeah.
Apparently, though, according to Karl Rove, oh, it was the president who was calling people liars? Oh, I must have missed
it. This was not an exceptionally good speech. It was gratuitously and bitterly partisan. And I think the biggest problem was the section in which he talked about the so-called lies and misstatements about his proposal. Yeah, he dealt with five of them. And in each one of them, he made a series of very glaring misstatements or distortions.
Really?
Really? Did he go on to enumerate those, Chris?
No, because he was distracted by something inane that Bill O'Reilly said.
No. Yeah. He was distracted by something shiny. He wasn't able to list those things. Interesting.
This is the part where you say something that's going to distract him so I don't have to point out those things.
Yeah, I don't have to actually prove that. Yeah. Okay, if only we could talk to somebody we respect about the speech last night. Why? Who is it, Chris?
It's the president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Gerald McKenty.
Glad I didn't have to say that.
Love him. Good morning, Gerald.
Good morning. It's McEntee.
McEntee, sorry.
Oh. Okay.
I will listen.
Are you going to fire yourself again?
Yes, I am.
I will throw something at him. Gerald, what a speech, didn't you think?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was soaring and yet specific. Very pleased. Our union is very pleased. The labor movement's very pleased. And I think the country's very pleased today. It was dynamite.
I have to say, I was going in, you know, somewhat nervous, and I'm a big supporter of the president, Gerald, but I'm not one that, you know, every speech says, oh, that was the best ever. But this last night just gave me chills.
No, this was a hell of a speech. And you know something, Stephanie? All you had to do is look out in that audience of House members and senators, and you see all the Republicans, not all, there's not that many of them left, on one side of that floor, and you say to yourself, now, look at them. Now, I wonder where the teabaggers that did all that goddamn growling and screaming and those things at those town hall meetings over the summer, they got it from these leaders. They got it from the Republican leaders.
Yeah, look at this. A congressman of the United States of America, Gerald, yelling like some goon at a town hall or a bar, a screaming you lie at the president.
You know, Stephanie, it's in the water, I think, in South Carolina for the Republicans. DeMint, you know, saying this will be Obama's Waterloo. We've got to make it his Waterloo, this health care reform. And then we've got the governor, you know, Mark Sanford. And then we now have Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, this is awful. Well, you know, South Carolina is a charming state.
Yeah.
These people are not charming at all.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing, Gerald, you go, these are the people you're reaching out to that you think we can have bipartisanship with? I mean, it almost in a way was like the perfect moment, wasn't it, to find what this debate has been?
Well, I think you saw it. I mean, it was in great evidence. I mean, the president has reached out, tried to make it bipartisan. Baucus, I mean, we're not crazy about the mark he's going to come down with. But, I mean, he tried to make it bipartisan. But if you think Enzi and Grassley and those kind of people are going to be bipartisan in health care reform, they see this, like DeMint says, as his Waterloo. Let's bring them down. Well, last night, he went right over top of them.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, you know, and you got to call it as you see it. I mean, the president, I'm glad he said the word lie, because there is no debate, Gerald, over death panels, over coverage for illegal aliens, over, you know, there is no debate. They are not in the bill, so those are out-and-out lies.
Absolutely. I don't think they read the bill. I don't think they read his the House bills or any of those kinds of things. I mean, there's three that come out of House committees. All they have to do is read them. They're not in there. They're not in the education and welfare that came out of the Senate committee. They're not in there. They
yep.
know that.
Yep, absolutely.
But they're out to stir it up, gin it up, bring them down.
Gerald, I'm feeling, you know, obviously much more optimistic this morning, as I know many of us are. What is your take on the, you know, the public option, for instance?
Well, you know, I guess I listened to a different president last night. I mean, I saw him speak. I thought passionately on the public option.
Yep.
And yet you listen to some of the television reporters this morning, and you listen to the channels and stuff like that, and it's like, well, I think he moved forward off the public option. Nonsense. He talked about the public option as a choice, as a
yep.
choice that people would have. How else are you going to measure in these insurance companies? And do you think we need a trigger? You think we need 3 years to see their behavior?
Right.
Stephanie, we've seen it for 50 years, their behavior.
Yeah. Yeah,
setting
setting
their own prices, doing whatever the hell they want. It's got to stop.
Yeah, that, absolutely. Well, that's what I've been saying, is I've just been trying to get my head around what the argument is against it. These
yeah.
are always the people that are for, you know, a competition and for the free market.
Exactly.
You're thinking otherwise. You're just giving the private insurance companies a bunch more customers with no rules.
That
you
is
know?
So true.
Yep.
They're waiting with open arms. They're for universal health care coverage. They're to cover these 45 million people, but without any competition, without a public option, just to run into the arms of these insurance companies. No way.
Yep. You know, we had a caller yesterday, Gerald, maybe you could answer this about, you know, now if you're, say you work for a large company and you have insurance through your job, like obviously the, you know, the union that you represent,
mm-hmm.
well, how do you, tell us healthcare from your point of view, what happens? I mean, will it be up to your company to whether they go on the public option or not, if there is one, or how does that work?
Well, you know what Obama said, and he's always said this, if you have a plan that you're satisfied with, that's a good plan, that really gives you coverage, then you can keep that plan. Now, we have many good plans that we've negotiated over the course of the years. I mean, we've given up wage increases. We're giving up fringe benefits like vacation and things like that to get good health care for the security of workers and their families. So we've fought for that. So we have some pretty good plans. And Obama says you can keep that plan. I think it should put the minds of people at rest that if you have a good plan, you can keep it. But, I mean, we've got to also cover these other people, and most of all, even though that's greatly important, we've got to be able to control costs, and the only way to control costs is bring competition into the market.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, my goodness.
Is that you or me?
I think that's you.
I really hope it's you.
I think it's Obama.
you know, Gerald, I am going next week to Orlando to speak to the Florida Laborers International Union.
Love them.
Any words for your brethren you want me to pass along?
Yeah, God bless them. Tell them that AFSCME sends their regards, and please come back into the AFL-CIO.
All right, I will tell them that. Gerald McIndee, president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Union. Thanks so much, Gerald.
Stay with it, Stephanie.
All right, you too, sir.
He's great.
I love him.
He's awesome. Wow.
Listen, they got these guys out there.
All these guys out there, they're...
Listen, Steph, I love
you
him.
You keep at it.
Don't let these guys...
No time he's sucking on a lozenge. That's great.
We all did the same facial expression at the same time. We were like, too late.
Yeah.
All right. Nah, never mind.
Yeah. That's one of those, you know, on the bubble kinds of curse words.
All right. That's,
I'm sure he meant to say gosh darn. Yeah,
I'm
that's
sure
it.
That's
uh-huh.
all right. Let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. You know what it's time for, Jim? It's time for that guy's stand-up news. All right. why the breaking news this morning, the Bush tax cuts cost more than twice as much as the health care bill. Why, that's some breaking news. I believe the president pointed this out last night.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the lawmakers who argue the health care reform legislation is too costly are the same lawmakers who supported the Bush tax cuts. In 2010, when all the Bush tax cuts are finally phased in, a staggering 52.5% of the benefits will go to the richest 5% of taxpayers. The tax legislation enacted under George Bush from 2001 will cost $2.48 trillion over the 2001 to 2010 period. The Bush tax cut deficit financed. Those were really paid for.
Uh-huh.
Those were really paid for like the health care bill is. It resulted in the national debt and greater interest payments on that debt, as already explained. Their position seems to be that showering benefits on the wealthiest 5% of taxpayers and leaving the bill for future generations is preferable to making health care available for all at a much lower cost and paying that cost up front. Appears to be our friends. We have some thoughts from former President George Bush.
Hey, remember me? The guy that kept you safe for 7.5 years, almost? You're welcome. Health care, smelt care. Y'all can't afford it. Thanks to my tax cuts for rich folks, I left you with a robust economy, which the new guy screwed up when he took over in August of 08. What the hell is he thinking? We got a debt of 11 kajillion schmagillion dollars because of what Hussein Osama did before he was even inaugurated. I got out just in time. That was a close one. I nearly had to take responsibility for the Democrat debt again, just like I did when I walked into the Clinton-Gore recession. Yeah, that's what leadership is. It's like with comedy. It's, fool me once. Timing. Well, gotta go. So many frogs to blow up, so little time. See you, suckers.
And finally, oh, goodness. Sometimes the headlines write themselves. Ex-Representative Foley got himself a radio show.
What?
Mark Foley. Yeah. You know, he resigned after sending the...
Representative Snagglepuss?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
He sent the, the naughty text messages to the male teens who worked on Capitol Hill.
Family values.
Yes. A surprising new voice in the world of political talk radio as U.S. Representative Mark Foley returns to the spotlight 3 years after the lurid scandal ruined his congressional career. He taped his first stint behind the mic for Inside the Mind of Mark Foley.
I really don't want to know what's inside the mind of Mark Foley.
I wonder who Eric Cantor was texting.
The mind reels.
I'd like to get inside the mind of Eric Cantor
That's a short trip.
Yeah. I love this. There's hope for eventual syndication of the show. Although right now he's working for free and says he'll bring his own advertisers. Oh, that's so cute. My dad's got a barn. Let's put on a radio show.
It's like Robert De Niro in his basement.
Cardboard cutouts for guests. Who do we have?
We have Mark Foley
in
a preview of his radio show.
Hi. Remember me even? I'm former Congressman Mark Foley. Hey, big voice announcer guy, what show is this?
It's the Mark Foley Show.
Nice pipes even. Call me after the show. Just kidding, you're too OLD for me. Anywho, my first guest on the show, from the hit show 30 Rock, enters stage right. It's Kenneth the Page even.
No, Mark, I'm Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana. Let me tell you a story. I remember going to the store with my dad.
Let me think. Yeah, no. Exit downstage, even. Well, with everything that's going on in Washington with healthcare and Obama's Nazi death panels, I thought who better to explain Hitler healthcare than the Führer himself, Adolf Hitler.
Die Amerikaner sind verwundert. Sie fragen sich, na was machen wir denn mit Oma? Nur Geduld. Wir werden Oma ausradieren!
Nice job, Perth, but no. Exit stage right, even. Extreme right. Tomorrow, I'm so excited. We're going to chat my favorite crusty old Celtic kook, Sean Connery.
Your way buffed the Sassenach poof. You make Daniela Craig look like Gerard Butler.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, no.
Play us out, Babs. Bye. Exit stage left, even.
Okay, that's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week, tell your friends. If you'd like more Jim Ward Falderall.
That was more Falderall than I'm not apocryphal, but true. There's a title at it, StephanieMiller.com. Go there, check it out. Buy the album, why don't you? Thank you.
20 minutes after the hour, back with more of our reaction and yours on the president's big speech. No one is allowed to say hit it out of the park. That's no.
No.
It's already been said.
Jan Schakowsky has put a moratorium on that.
Some other sports metaphor.
Yes, exactly. Come up with another one right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slag Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Go, Mr. President. Go.
Some of people's concerns have grown out of bogus claims spread by those whose only agenda is to kill reform at any cost. The best example is the claim made not just by radio and cable talk show hosts, but by prominent politicians, that we plan to set up panels of bureaucrats with the power to kill off senior citizens. Now, such a charge would be laughable if it weren't so cynical and irresponsible. It is a lie, yes. Plain and simple.
Thank you.
You can hear the Republicans grumbling.
Yeah.
You're supposed to roll over. Hey, you can't. Hey, what's up?
Dan in Chicago. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Stephanie. First of all, thanks, guys. Great show. And we could say maybe that the president banged it between the pipes, but that would be Vitters. And hey. Or we could say he put it between the uprights, but that would be Sanford. So bottom line is I'm your sarcastic, angry, out-of-work commercial photographer, official Chicago fan. And Representative Wilson just behaved the way he was brought up. Based on his age, he was brought up by people who said, it's okay to step on a black man when he gets uppity.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Unfortunately, he was not above his upbringing last night. Now, on the other hand, I will say, as your union representative said, the people of the South are very genteel when they're brought up in the correct way.
Exactly. South Carolina has taken a drubbing between Sanford and this guy. James Clyburn, the Democrat, also from South Carolina, here's some not-so-fun facts about Joe Wilson. He said Joe is very confrontational. He held his first town hall meeting three blocks from my house at my kid's high school. Oof. Now, why would he have his town hall meeting in my congressional district three blocks from my house at my kid's high school? It's not in his district.
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy Joe Wilson is. He loves confronting people, so he was confronting the president just as he was confronting me. Huh.
So he's a bit of an a-hole, is what he said.
Yes, exactly. That was a nice way of saying he's always been an a-hole. Okay, Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Hello.
Know, first of all, with Congressman Douche, as I am now calling him. I'm surprised
and his douche-tastic comments, yes.
Yes, after he said that, first of all, I'm surprised that Nancy Pelosi's face could move that much.
I know.
But, you know, I think I want to know where the Republicans stand on this, because they've always said that the Democrats never showed any respect to President Bush.
Yeah, thank you. And when did anyone ever do that? All right, Representative Lynn Woolsey next on the Celebrity Hotline on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'll do it, but only for the attention.
What's that?
Ah! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 33 minutes after the hour. Still basking in the bipartisan glow of the president's speech last night. Wait a
minute. There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal. It's not true.
I love the way you just said it. It's not true.
Oh, my God.
It was like the Springtime for Hitler scene. Yeah. You went to Nancy Pelosi and others' faces in reaction. If only someone that were there that's fighting the good fight. Yes, who is it, Chris?
Representative Lynn Woolsey from the great state of California.
Oh, one of our personal favorites. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi, Stephanie.
What a night, huh?
Oh, what a night, yes.
Wow. I've never seen that in my lifetime, what Joe Wilson did last night. Have you?
Oh, no. It's unprecedented. And we asked John Dingell, who's been here 53 years, if he's ever seen anything like this. He said no, and he'd never heard of it, even in his father's time.
Mm-hmm. Aren't you glad almost it happened, though? Because I thought it almost perfectly crystallized the fight you guys have been fighting. You know, here's the president trying to explain his plan, trying to explain what he thinks is best for America. And it's like, here's a congressman who's like some thug at a town hall just screaming, at the president of the United States.
True, it's proof in the pudding of what's been going on out there, but it also shows such a lack of respect for the institution itself.
Well, absolutely.
In the office of president.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you were one of the out of Iraq caucus, you had some pretty strong thoughts about George Bush, I'm sure, as he was talking about weapons of mass destruction. But you didn't see any of that, did you?
No, I wouldn't even thought of acting like that.
Yeah. Congresswoman, I know you are, like me, for a very strong public option. You're part of the Progressive Caucus. I was really thrilled last night. What did you think?
Well, public option is definitely on the table, Stephanie, and we've finished this part of the debate. The president laid everything out last night very clear and gave us our marching orders, and now he didn't say progressives now go out there and work with everybody and define what is the best public option. But I felt that he was talking to me and mm-hmm. telling the leaders of the Progressive Caucus and the other members of the House that it's our job now to define what we mean by a robust public option and work with the leadership and see if we can get it in there.
Right. Well, what is your, obviously he even mentioned last night triggers and co-ops and all of that. What is your take on that as part of the Progressive Caucus?
No triggers. The trigger should have been pulled years ago on the mm-hmm. health insurance industry. They've had 50 years. They either can't or won't do what is right. So for us to wait 5 more years before we call them on it is going in the wrong direction for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And co-ops don't work. So they could work if we had 10 years to put them together, but we don't.
Right.
So what we have is the best way to bring competition and lower costs.
Well, that's what I liked, Representative Woolsey, is I think that the president was pretty clear in saying, I am for a public option. Here's why. But I'm willing to listen. You bring something to the table, knowing very well that our Republican friends have not. They don't. He said, if there's a better idea, I'll listen to it.
Right.
But
good, he said that. So, and we'll be working with all the ideas and pushing back when the idea comes forward that actually wipes out the public option.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear with the challenge of a public plan and the fear that's coming from the private industry that if we do this right, then the private insurance carriers will really have to lower their prices and improve on their benefits.
Well, and boy, I don't know about you. I mean, you were obviously there, but watching it on television, it was the perfect visual. Not just, this Joe Wilson screaming names at the president, but, you've got Eric Cantor on his BlackBerry and, the making faces. And it just, and what were they waving? They were waving GOP bills. Anyone know what's in those? Just props? What was that about?
They were props. And, when I guess they'd read his, they knew he was going to say, if you've got a better plan, show it to me. And up went, a bunch of paper.
Right, but what is it?
it's a prop.
Right. I'd give anything to get a copy of one of those, Congresswoman, wouldn't you?
Been good, yeah.
I want to see, is it their kids' school projects? Is it construction paper and glitter and pasta?
Page 26 of the phone book.
Yeah, right.
What's in there? It's like, remember when John Boehner came out with that big, budget that had all the fancy graphics and there were no actually numbers in it?
Right.
Right.
Someone's got to go back and do their homework again. Yeah. Congresswoman, what is your prediction on what's next here? I mean, certainly I've heard the overnight polling. I think one of them I heard the president's numbers went up 14 points. Clearly, you know, and clearly Democrats are galvanized this morning. So what do you predict? Joe Biden, I think, this morning was saying he thinks by Thanksgiving we're going to have a bill.
Well, we hope so by the end, certainly the end of the year, and we're going to do our job in the House. We've got three bills that need to be unified, and we've got some work to do because, you know, we're not all exactly on the same page, but we're very much together, and it's so clear that we want health care reform.
Representative Woolsey, bottom line it for us, because you're obviously a very prominent member of the Progressive Caucus. What happens if there's not a public option? Obviously, some among you have said that you will not vote for it.
Well, some among us won't vote for it. So it will depend on how this debate goes, and I would like to think that we will have a strong public option in the House bill, and where our challenge will come is when it comes out of conference from the Senate.
Don't tell any senators I said this, but I like the House better, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I won't tell anybody.
Congresswoman Woolsey, thank you so much, as always, for taking time for us. And please keep us updated. And thank you so much for fighting the good fight. We got to get the whole loaf, not a half a loaf. Let's get that
right.
Public.
That's what we want.
That public option. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Stephanie.
All right. There
Bye-bye.
She goes, Representative Lynn Woolsey. Just saying, as a member of the Out of Iraq, founder of the Out of Iraq Caucus, one of them.
Yes.
Kind of wish she had yelled liar at President Bush during his WND speech. But see? We're too polite. All right. We have respect for the office of the president.
Whatever.
All right. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Kev.
Good morning.
Good morning, man.
And I cannot tell a lie. I still admire you almost as much as I desire you.
Thank you.
But the Republicans, since Obama has been sworn in, have been playing this weird American Idol-like, can you top this? I mean, every time I think they can't go lower than that, they can't go lower than that, they do it.
I know. There is no low. That's the thing. There is no bottom.
And I mean, in the same week, they go hysterical about a speech to school kids. And then this. You know, I don't consider myself a naive person, but I honestly, and judging by what you said, other people haven't, I've never seen this type of mental illness of a whole group of people before in my life.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, the president last night explaining health
care. My guiding principle is, and always has been, that consumers do better when there's choice and competition. That's how the market works.
Communist.
Unfortunately, in 34 states, 75% of the insurance market is controlled by five or fewer companies. In Alabama, almost 90% is controlled by just one company.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And without competition, the price of insurance goes up and quality goes down. And it makes it easier for insurance companies to treat their customers badly by cherry-picking the healthiest individuals and trying to drop the sickest, by overcharging small businesses who have no leverage, and by jacking up rates. Insurance executives don't do this because they're bad people. They do it because it's profitable. As one former insurance executive testified before Congress, insurance companies are not only encouraged to find reasons to drop the seriously ill.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. One company, that reminds me of an old, like, Ernestine, Lily Tomlin from Laugh-In.
Yeah.
But why? Everybody's wanting the phone company, we can.
Right. But also, their stock price goes up depending on how many people they drop because they're sick.
Yes.
I mean, that's sick in itself.
Exactly. 42 minutes after the hour, back with more of the president's big speech and the reaction as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In fact, there's a distinct possibility that by the end of the day, we'll all be going to hell.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Steve in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the President's Speech. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hi. I thought it was a great speech. I thought he really did a good job. What I'd like to point out is that I think maybe now we can start turning the tables on the Republicans, because what they've been doing is with throwing around terms like socialism and government bureaucrat. They're trying to make us afraid of our own government. I mean, this is this is the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Well,
and
I thought that, and
we're not supposed to be afraid of our own government.
Yeah, and I thought the president did a good job explaining how the public option is not a government takeover of any kind. It's, I think the, what are the latest estimates, that maybe only 5% of the public would actually be on the public plan. It just
You're lying.
It just keeps the insurance companies honest. I believe the president explained that last night.
An additional step we can take to keep insurance companies honest is by making a not-for-profit public option available in the insurance exchange. Let me be clear. It would only be an option for those who don't have insurance. No one would be forced to choose it. And it would not impact those of you who already have insurance. In fact, based on Congressional Budget Office estimates, we believe that less than 5% of Americans would sign up.
You lie! You lie!
Congressman. All right. Two out of the breaking news this morning on the CNN poll, two out of three Americans who watched President Obama's health care reform speech favor his health care plans, a 14-point gain among speech watchers, according to the CNN poll. 67% of people questioned in the survey say they support Obama's health care reform proposals, with 29% opposed. You know, the right may say, oh, well, probably more Democrats than Republicans watch. That may be true, but, you know, I think it's hard to spin it. I think that's why they were so frustrated and screaming, because, you know, you could tell the president was hitting it out of the park. Oh! I made that analogy.
He hit a home run?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
Ben Nelson, Democrat of
Nebraska,
one of the moderates, said, I think it was a bit of a game changer. Chris Van Hollen, he headed the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, whom we know, said the speech galvanized support among the along the Democratic caucus across the political spectrum, from the Progressive Caucus to the Blue Dogs, and everybody left determined to get something done this year. I heard that over and over again. Republicans, of course, expressing open content, not just contempt, not just screaming, but scanning their BlackBerries, holding up copies of that fake Republican bill that has nothing in it.
Childish.
I believe one congressman, Yukon Cornelius, I think he finally threw it up at the end of the speech. To show us what's in the Republican plan.
Nothing.
Oh. We'd hope we'd be able to read it before we vote it, but nope. There's nothing in it.
Did Boner throw his down?
What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope. We don't have time to do that.
You can tell which GOP plan was Boner's because it had bronzer all over it.
Yeah, bronze fingerprints.
When the janitor cleaned up later, he had to pick it up with tongs. The one with
gross.
Gin and bronzer on it. Ew.
Oh.
Pour the sand, orange sand stuff on it to soak up the bronzer.
Speaking of little Republican twits, did you hear what Lindsey Graham said?
What?
I was incredibly disappointed in the tone of his speech.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, it was the president that had the... It wasn't the guy screaming liar at the president.
Yeah.
No, it was the president. At times, I found his tone to be overly combative and believe he behaved in a manner beneath the dignity of his office.
Oh, come on.
What?
And the congressman from Lindsey Graham's home state of South Carolina didn't?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he had no thoughts about that, about the guy screaming liar at the president.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That takes huevos to say that.
I fear his speech tonight made it more difficult, not less, to find common ground. If the Obama administration and congressional Democrats go down this path and push a bill on the American people they do not want, it could be the beginning of the end of the Obama presidency.
You missed the point. There obviously is no common ground, because all you people want to do is obstruct.
Right. And yell.
I thought if they don't pass health care, your friend Jim DeMint said it would be the end of the Obama presidency. Wait a minute.
If they do or they don't.
Oh.
Doesn't matter which. Either way.
We better stop then.
Yeah.
Or start. Or both.
What?
What? All right. The president again on the public option.
A strong majority of Americans still favor a public insurance option of the sort I've proposed tonight. But its impact shouldn't be exaggerated by the left or the right. Or the media. It is only one part of my plan and shouldn't be used as a handy excuse for the usual Washington ideological battles. To my progressive friends, I would remind you that for decades, the driving idea behind reform has been to end insurance company abuses and make coverage available for those without it. The public option is only a means to that end. And we should remain open to other ideas that accomplish our ultimate goal.
You know, I'm still wondering if he's playing chess on this and we're playing checkers, because he's, you know, there he was, people with Republicans screaming at him, mm-hmm. still saying, I'm open to other ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Bring, you know, I mean, there's still a chance for him to go, okay, well,
but
they brought
any.
Nothing forward. Right. Here it is, the public plan. Because I'm asking you, how else do we, he was very clear,
let's
how else
some.
Do we achieve those, end insurance company abuses, make coverage affordable for those without it? How else do you do it?
Right.
How else do you, you know, okay.
Making it abundantly clear that they have no ideas.
I think he's got this.
I think we should all chill out, Mother. Yeah. He's got this.
Yes.
Yeah, I love the, what's his name, the boob, Joe Wilson, his apology. While I disagree with the president's statement.
What?
There's no agreeing or disagreeing. The president told the truth. You lied.
Yeah, I disagree with the president's statement that 2 plus 2 equals 4.
My comments were inappropriate and blah, blah, blah. It's like, what? No. There's no disagreeing or agreeing on a fact. Either there is coverage for illegal immigrants mm-hmm. in the bill or there is not. Not only is it not in the bill, it is specifically stated in the bill that no illegal immigrants will be.
I disagree with the president's assertion that gravity exists.
All right. Eileen, in the sadly this morning from South Carolina. Hello, Eileen.
Good morning. Yes, welcome to the great state. We are very courteous. We give you guys all kinds of great material.
That's true.
Wow.
You don't have to look too hard. I was at Joe Wilson's town hall meeting, and ironically, we weren't allowed to speak. We actually had to write our questions down so he could handpick them.
So as to be respectful to him because of his office. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just popped a check in the mail to Rob Miller. And,
yay.
Hooray. I'm thinking we might make this state like maybe as blue as our flag.
There you go. There's a link on StephanieMiller.com if you'd like to.
Yes,
you know, personally, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, if you don't really like your president screamed at.
Yeah, in the Twitter feed section right there at the homepage of StephanieMiller.com.
You don't really want people to name call to the president's face in the people's house there.
That's right.
Okay, let's go to Sydney in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Sid.
It's your official bipolar Negro of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Howdy.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
So first, the look on Joe Biden shaking his head when he sat down was like, oh, dear Lord. My mother used to give us the same look when we said something we weren't supposed to say.
Oh, you mean when Joe Wilson screamed?
Yeah, when Joe Wilson screamed and Joe Biden sat down. And then the look on Barack Obama's face was the exact same look my mother used to give us when we were in the church pew giggling. And she'd turn and give us that look.
Yeah.
And I expected Barack Obama's arm to go shooting out and slap Joe Wilson in the face.
Yeah. Well, Nancy Pelosi won the face off, though, didn't you think?
She
that was
disgusted, too. Yeah.
That made the blood freeze in my veins. That was like Sister Dorothy. Let's go to Mike in Santa Barbara. Hey, Mike, welcome.
Good morning. First off, Jim, congratulations on the Emmy.
Thank you.
Had to get that in. I want to talk about the healthcare speech last night. It was a great speech, but also I did want to point out that my son, who goes to Santa Barbara High School, was not allowed to watch the inspirational Obama address to the students in his classroom. I mean, I watched it. I was so inspired. I want to go back to school and do something with my life.
Yeah, I want to start over again.
But as far as the healthcare,
you could grow up to be an Emmy Award-winning radio guy.
Whatever.
Don't you think it gives the show a whole new credibility, the Stephanie Miller newscast?
You guys have all the credibility in the world as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, now we're fart jokes with Slide Whistle and an Emmy. Take that. Don't you love how I just take credit for everything that Jim does? It's my Emmy now, too.
Right. Not every morning show can claim that.
That's right. 57 minutes after the hour, back with the Emmy Award-winning Tinsel Talk and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
The question is, were you lying then? Are you lying now? Or are you not, in fact, a chronic and habitual liar?
I am. I'm
Stephanie Miller.
Here's my ID. Here's my birth certificate in a bag. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Emmy Award-winning voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Representative Russ Carnahan, Democrat of the great state of Missouri, on the Celebrity Hotline. To talk about the president's home run of a speech, in my opinion, last night.
I won't stand by while the special interests use the same old tactics to keep things exactly the way they are. If you misrepresent what's in this plan, we will call you out. And I will not. And I will not accept the status quo as a solution. Not this time. Not now.
And then there was a chorus from the back. All right. Senator Mac.
You know how these people lie? It's born in them. I mean, what the heck? I don't have to tell you. They don't know what the truth is.
All right. Thank you again, Joe Wilson. Can't get enough of you. All right. Senator Max Baucus yesterday.
Irrespective of whether or not any Republicans, I do think that there will be, I'm going to move forward anyway.
Yes, thank you.
Springtime?
Pardon me. I was referring to the faces on all the other congresspeople when Joe Wilson screamed his expletives at the president. All right. I believe a CNN poll I cited, the president's approval rating went up 14 points or the reaction to the on the reaction to the speech last night, unless, of course, you were Sean Hannity.
Now, tonight, the president did his best to sell Americans on the idea that the government should control their health care, while trying to position himself as a neutral and fair arbiter of Capitol Hill's petty partisan disputes. He delivered an attack speech that could have been written by James Carville.
An attack speech?
Did he watch it at all? No, he just
He was tweeting with Eric Cantor.
And Joe Wilson, that was reasoned response. By the way, how about the official response guy? Holy moly. Is that the best they got?
Notice I didn't get you any sound bites from that because it was just completely useless.
He's been sued for malpractice three times.
Yes, he has.
And he tried to buy a fake title from England.
Yeah.
Okay, enough said. Wow. Republicans, yikes. Okay, Chris in San Diego writes, hey, Jiggles.
Hey, Jiggles, grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Yes, get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
Jim treats me worse than ever now that he's won the Emmy.
Yeah.
That damn pad, that's all I get to do. Hi, Jiggles, now that Jim's won an Emmy, I think you should let him do the show from home in a smoking jacket like Robert Evans.
Yes.
He can reminisce about Charlie Bluedorn in a grovelly voice and make contradictory hyperbolic statements. Wasn't the best day of my life? You bet. Would I do it again? Not in a million years. This is San Diego.
Well, I'm working on the studio. I just got to get the smoking jacket.
You would look so sharp in a smoking jacket. Seriously.
I wish I smoked so I could wear a smoking jacket.
And an ascot.
I love ascots. They should bring back ascots.
You could probably play Robert Evans in some kind of production or something. You would be really good at that.
I could do Robert Evans.
Liz in Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, on the president's indoctrination of her child a couple of days ago. Steph, since when is it bad to force kids to be indoctrinated and force them to listen? I do it every time I ask my kids to clean up their plates, brush their teeth, do their homework, pick up their toys, stop hitting each other, stop touching each other, stop biting each other, put that toad down. No, don't lick the toad. Wash your hands. Remove the toads from the sink. Hang up your coats. Put your shoes away. Why are there toads in your shoes? My son watched Obama and listened to him as much as he listens to me. He thought it was pretty boring and yada, yada, yada. Sorry, I have to run. There's toads in my washing machine. Kids, how many times have I told you no toads in the house? Oh, all right. Thank you.
Kids are going to grow up to be Republican congressmen.
All right, let's check
waiting some toads in the air.
Yeah.
Let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids?
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story, former TV lifeguard David Hasselhoff was left fearing for his wife on
Wife?
Life. No wife anymore.
No, he's left his wife. Wife left him. Yeah.
On a recent shark spotting trip to South Africa, he got up close and personal with the animals as he made a series of films entitled David Hasselhoff's Shark Watch for the Underwater Channel. Suddenly, he said, a tiger shark looms toward me, a big girl, around 10 feet long. Although I'm 6 foot and no lightweight, I felt as if I appeared nothing more than a snack to her.
Oh, no.
She opened her huge mouth. All I could see were rows of white razor-sharp teeth. I held out the bait, hoping it would help keep her happy. The trick worked, and the shark retreated. See, even sharks know not to hassle the hawk.
That's right.
I think you know that.
All right, Mr. Hasselhoff, we're going to drop you into the water, covered with chum, while filming you as you interact with the sharks. Should be quite entertaining to see who will be feeding whom. You won't die straight away. It will take a bit of time. Oh. Hey, don't hassle the huff. Holy crap! She wants my whole arm! Kit, fire the turbo boost! Get us out of here! Help, Mr. Wizard! Help! Oh, whoa, that was close. She took the bait. Reminds me of my ex-wife. Take that back, she reminds me of my ex-wife's lawyer. Hey, didn't I see you in Lethal Weapon 2?
Yes, quite right. Don't you recognize me? I'm Danny Glover.
Very funny. By the way, why are you trying to kill me?
Why not? Your career is already dead. Now you're starting like a kid. But don't take it personally. I want to kill all Americans.
But why?
Isn't it obvious? Your president, he's black.
Wait a minute. You're that Joe Wilson guy who heckled the president last night.
Goodbye, Rix.
And finally, William Shatner wants Edmonton's Valley Zoo's elephant Lucy to retire to a sanctuary.
Aww.
Shatner says the 33-year-old elephant is old, feeble, and deserves to live in better circumstances than the zoo. Let me add my voice to the crescendo of voices asking for some relief in the fate of your beloved elephant Lucy, Shatner wrote to them. In a way, it's none of our business. Edmonton can capably take care of its own. Yet in a larger sense, these extraordinary animals are everybody's responsibility. Hmm. Oh, Bill, you big softy.
Alberta, the final frontier. These are the voyages of an old, feeble pachyderm who deserves to live in better circumstances. No, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Lucy the elephant. Normally, I would never violate the Prime Directive. There can be no interference with the internal development of pre-war species. But in this case, I want to personally take over the care of the beloved Lucy. I want to get her a better deal on an oversized hotel suite. I want her to name her own price, but she can't speak for herself. So I will add to the crescendo of voices the voice of the price line negotiator. 4-star accommodations at the Brookfield Zoo. I'm on it. Kirk out.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward Calderall.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. Thailand, StephanieMiller.com. Go there, check it out. Buy the album, why don't you? Thank you.
No extra charge for the Emmy, by the way.
No.
All right. American Idol news. Ellen DeGeneres is going to be the new fourth judge, replacing... Hold up. She's intentionally funny,
yeah,
for God's sake.
That is a really, really poor decision.
She needs to start drinking more. She's intentionally funny. That's not what we need there.
Someone on the internet said it smacks of desperation, like, you know, bringing Dennis Miller onto, you know, Monday Night Football.
Jackie.
Yeah, it really does.
I think she should do the show herself. Just be the sole judge.
Yeah, there you go.
And then judge him on the dancing.
All right. The president's a humdinger of a speech last night to the joint session. The president.
I still believe that we can act when it's hard. I still believe we can replace acrimony with civility and gridlock with progress. I still believe we can do great things and that here and now we will meet history's test. Because that's who we are. That is our calling. That is our character. Thank you. God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
Oh, spoken by communist, atheist, Muslim, Nazi.
Sam in Chicago on the president's speech. Hello, Sam.
Hi, guys. You guys have an awesome show. I love you dearly.
Thank you.
These people have truly shown their colors that they never have before. First, you've got a guy who shows up last night. His collar was so tight, I didn't think he could get a word out. And he's been sued my practice, what, 3 times now?
What's his name? Bustani?
Bustani.
Congressman Bustani, right.
Yeah, it was really creepy. And then this guy last night doing all the yelling and screaming. Actually, you know, he said something about Alabama. I thought that Shelby was going to puke up boxed wine in the store while he was sitting there or something, but they didn't show him. Anyway,
yeah.
Then you've got Cantor sitting there emailing or texting somebody, and these guys aren't paying attention. Their minds are already made up long months ago. They have no interest in it.
Who is it? Senator Inhofe said as much. I'm not going to read it. I already know I'm against it.
And
how is he doing his job for the American people?
I think he's still drunk.
Yep, absolutely.
And the other guy, you know, it makes you embarrassed that if there are people around the world watching this, that there's some moron out there who would yell at the American president while he's talking to a joint.
Yeah, absolutely. No matter what side of the aisle you're on, you know, Marty in Columbus, he's by the way, FYI, all of our president.
That's
Marty
right.
In Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Marty.
Hi, Stephanie. Appreciate you and your show.
Thank you.
As a native South Carolinian and one who lived in South Carolina for 45 years, I just had to call in and comment on what I am now glad that the entire American public can see about politics in South Carolina. It's a poison on that state, and after living there for 45 years, I had to leave.
Well, yeah, I don't think you can paint South Carolina with such a broad brush because it has produced great politicians like James Clyburn.
Well, that's very true, but for the most part, the political culture there is poison, and it's really hurting the
state. How about Mark Sanford? He's had, what is it, like 60?
Yeah, 60
House
GOP.
Republicans have asked him to resign, he still won't.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I mean, it really is. Let's go to Chris in Champaign, Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. I was one thing I had told your screener is that Wilson's, I guess his congressional site is down because so many people are contacting him. But also, isn't it kind of amazing how Republicans,
you know, whose website
is
doing very well is his opponent, Rob Miller.
Yes.
Picked up quite a bit of, what do you call it, contributions this morning.
And isn't it amazing, though, that Republicans have kind of come around that when people protested peacefully against something like a war when Bush was president, they were un-American.
Yep.
And now you can bring your AK-47 and a Nazi sign and call the president all the names you want, then you're just a good, you know, town hall whack job American.
Well, and that's the, you know, the argument they can't make anymore, that, oh, we can't control every, you know, lunatic fringe person that shows up at a rally. That's a United States congressman.
Yeah.
Sitting there.
Yeah.
Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama. You know, I love Nancy Pelosi's look last night. I'm sure she's got to see a chiropractor the way her neck snapped around.
Yeah.
it was the same look my mother gave me the first time she heard me say the F-bomb.
We all remember that.
It was just her grandma mama stuff took over big time when she looked at him. But the other thing I realized last night, and I've known this for a while, but it just really kind of solidified the notion, is these guys are not the least bit interested in what's good for the American people. They just want Obama. I'm wrong.
Yep.
And they have become so fixated on that notion that how can this, and I think it's, you know, I think it's racism.
And
I think
Dave,
it still is.
Well, yeah, it's hard. I mean, look, it's never happened in our history before. You figure it out. But I got to say, couldn't you see, it's not just his outburst, the looks on their faces, the blatant disrespect. Couldn't you tell they knew he was hitting a home run here? They were just so frustrated. It was like, oh, crap. You
that's
know?
Exactly, that's right on the money. They were, and the more he made sense, and the more appeal he made, and the more he did the very thing that they didn't want him to do, the more sour they got. It was perfect.
So, yep, absolutely. I'm looking at a screen capture right now of Nancy Pelosi, and I'm just talking about, like, it's like the typical, like, jaw drop. The jaw is just wide open. It's just,
yeah.
She, I mean, thank God it wasn't Cindy McCain, because she would have unhinged her alien from V jaw
and eaten Joe
and
Wilson.
Consumed Joe Wilson alive.
Yeah.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on the president's big speech, your reaction and ours as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Down. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, the breaking news this morning. More bad news for Republicans. You know that California assemblyman?
Yes. The one that likes to spank his mistress, allegedly?
Huh. One of his two mistresses.
Yeah.
The other mistress apparently doesn't know that he has a mistress. Oh, did I say that on the TV? Yeah, it was a televised assembly meeting, and he is married a big, doesn't like the gay.
No.
He's a big out there on Prop 8 guy. Mike Duvall.
Because he thought the gays would ruin his marriage.
Yes. And apparently chatting about your mistresses live on television might do a little more along those lines.
Actually, there's a picture of the mistress,
yes.
Heidi de Jong Barsulia.
Really?
Really?
Alleged mistress.
Oh,
there
yes,
is
alleged.
A picture. I have the Mike Duvall for Assembly website up in front of me, and he is the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. You're correct.
Yeah, he's...
Okay, so he resigned. You have to hear the breaking news, the statement this morning. Jim, are you ready? I want to make it clear that my decision to resign is no way an admission that I had an affair or affairs.
Oh, okay.
That's funny.
Wait for it. Are you ready? The excuse is always better than the actual thing. My offense was engaging in inappropriate storytelling.
Storytelling.
He's friggin' Garrison Keillor now.
Once upon a time.
Garrison Keillor, whom we wish well, because he had a stroke.
He had a stroke?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I live on Lake, woe is me.
We'll be gone.
I regret my language. I know, I was making
a
joke.
Oh, okay.
I regret my language and choice of words. Apparently he was making up stories about the mistress that likes the spanking and the other one that doesn't know about the other mistress.
Hey, kids, want a bedtime story?
And his wife, who apparently doesn't know about
it. Once there was a congressman who had a hot mistress who liked to get spanked.
Congressman from Nantucket?
He joins Joe Wilson as one of the Republican boobs of the day that don't realize they're on television. Whoopsie. Okay, let's go to Victoria in New Mexico. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Victoria.
Good morning, Stephanie Moogs. How are y'all doing?
Good morning. Go ahead.
I am so happy. As an independent voter, I think it's about time that Barack opened a can of whoop-ass and kicked some bipartisan booty.
Yep, absolutely. It was a humdinger, as they say, in the speech business. Let's go to Michelle and Madison on the president's speech. Hello, Michelle.
Hey, I have noticed your show has been roller derby deficient, Mama.
Uh-oh, I apologize.
And looking for good sports analogies, I don't think you need to look any further than roller derby. Last night, President Obama hip-checked those Republicans out of bounds and sent their jammer to the penalty box.
John in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey,
hello.
Hey, Stephanie. I got a question for you. Since the Democrats pretty much have a majority in Congress and everything, why don't they tell them just shut the heck up and we're going to pass these bills?
Why don't they say shut the heck up and pass these bills? Well, because the president has been reaching out for bipartisanship and has gotten name-calling in response, essentially.
I mean, I know that, but I mean, what I'm saying is, and I'm a Republican,
Sussed that out.
I know, but hey, you know, I'm also a Saints fan. I'm with them.
Because I think the president, I think the president has really been looking for bipartisan ground. It's just he's not getting anything from Republicans. He has even said, "Come up with I'll listen to a better idea than the public option if you have one." You know, whatever they were waving at him was a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
We know what the Republican health care plan is. It's just it doesn't take many pages to explain it.
Oh, for God's sake, just die.
28 minutes after the hour, Representative Russ Carnahan, Democrat of the great state of Missouri, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, you look great.
Do I? I'm pretty tired from playing as hard as I work.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. So the president, by all accounts, looks like the overnight CNN poll shows his approval up 14 points among people that watched the speech. I don't know how else you can spin it.
Drudge is spinning it, though.
Oh, really? What's he saying?
He is saying that about twice as many Democrats were in the polling sample as there were Republicans. But if you notice, CNN polled people who watched the speech.
Right.
Of course, more Democrats are going to watch the speech.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know,
why would they poll people who didn't watch the
speech?
Yeah, what did you think of the speech you didn't see?
People,
I didn't like it.
So that is how Matt Drudge is spinning it.
Okay, whatever. President Obama yesterday said that he had left too much ambiguity in what he wants from health care reform. He said he took a relatively hands-off approach out of an effort to give Congress the ability to do their thing and not step on their toes. But he said that allowed opponents of reform to come in and to fill up the airways with a lot of nonsense. Everything from this ridiculous idea about the death panels, blah, blah, illegal immigrants, all the stuff that he covered last night, including the broader government takeover of health care, which, once again, is ridiculous. He said part of the frustration I have is on the Republican side, there are wonderful people who really operated on the basis of pragmatism and common sense and getting things done. Those voices have, I think, been shouted down on that side. He said this before Joe Wilson tried to shout him down during the speech.
Yeah.
So that was his point, is this is what he's been dealing with on the other side. So he also said on the public option, he said, look, you know, if you have it, this is why we need it, to keep, you know, insurance companies honest, blah, blah, blah. If you have a better idea, bring it forward. He said, I'll listen to it. He mentioned the trigger and co-ops. I agree with Jay Rockefeller, who has been talking about cooperatives.
It works for farms. It works for electricity. It works for, you know, whatever else, but it doesn't work for health care. And nobody's focused on that.
We've had a couple of Congress people at least on this morning that still think we are going to get a meaningful public option out of this in the end.
I was encouraged by the people we've had on this morning.
Yep. Senator Kent Conrad, Democrat in North Dakota.
What's critical is that we achieve a result by the end of the year. If we have a markup in the next couple of weeks, that will be plenty of time to get this job done.
Vice President Biden this morning saying he thinks by Thanksgiving the president could have a bill. Senator Baucus yesterday said his committee will debate a health care overhaul bill the week of September 22nd, whether or not he has the panel's Republicans on board.
I very much hope and do expect Republicans would be on board. I don't know how many, but if there are not any, I'm going to move forward in any event.
Thank you. It seems the Republicans' cooperation seems so clear based on last night's events. If only someone that were there could... What? Why, who is it, Chris?
Representative Russ Carnahan from the great state of Missouri.
We love him.
Or Missouri.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good, as I imagine you are, too, after that speech last night.
You know, I am. And I did so many forums around Missouri when I was home over the August break, but the president really put the icing on the cake last night to move this debate forward.
I thought so. I mean, going into it, I mean, I was, as a liberal, nervous and about the way this has been going. But I have to say, it didn't seem to be what side of the aisle you were on. That speech was just so clear and so concise and so good, wasn't it?
Well, he laid out the facts in detail in ways that people could understand, but he also called out the opponents that have been peddling the disinformation, the people that want to make this into a political game to get the president, the people that are making big bucks off the broken system, any others that are peddling this disinformation. He said he's going to call him out.
Well, I have to say, we have Joe Wilson to thank for that, because that was just a stunning moment, I think, that we've never seen before.
It was just horrifically bad manners, bad conduct, and inappropriate. And he was right to apologize right away. And that kind of conduct is just intolerable.
But that's the thing, Congressman. It's different when, you know, it's some thug at a town hall. This is a congressman of the United States of America, and you wonder why this conduct happened at these town halls when these are the people that represent them. The moment was sort of so stunning, wasn't it, in the sense that he said even in his apology, I disagree with the president. Congressman, there's no way to agree or disagree on an outright lie.
Absolutely. This is something that is just spelled out so clearly in the bill is really beyond question. I mean, this does not provide benefits for people that are here illegally.
Right. That's the thing and as we all know, you guys all get a copy of the speech. So it's not like he said, oh, well, this was just an emotional outburst. Like this was something unplanned. He knew what the president was going to say, correct?
Yeah, no question about it. And, I think it was typical of what we saw in town halls, but it also really makes the point that sadly, some on the other side have you know, linked arms with these folks, these professional disruptors that frankly are less concerned about health care problems than they are trying to score political points.
Right. Well, it's the president said it last night. We're not just talking about, you know, right-wing radio hosts or cable people. We're talking about the vice presidential candidate of their party, Sarah Palin. We're talking about the senator that's writing the bill, Senator Grassley, you know, repeating these lies. So that's what it seems the president's been up against.
And I think the president, you know, did as he has done, you know, he has repeatedly and genuinely reached out to the other side to have them join the table,
yep.
to seriously join this debate. Most of the time they have slapped his hand when he has reached out for them. But I think he was going to continue that. He's genuine about it. And he's tried to get the best ideas from both sides in a bill that we can actually pass and he can sign. I'm going to fight for the strongest bill that we can get to the president's desk. It's not going to have everything I want in it, but when the alternative is no reform, we've got to get the strongest bill possible. We've got to take advantage of this moment in history and this momentum that is behind this change to get it done.
Well, Congressman Carnahan, those of us for a strong public option, you know, I think still have reason to hope, don't we, based on what the president said last night?
I do. He has said his, you know, he wants the benefits of a nonprofit type of mechanism within a healthcare marketplace where we have real competition among private plans, but that we have that nonprofit type of a plan that is one more mechanism to help keep costs down, because we all know healthcare costs on the average policy has doubled in the last 10 years. It's probably going to do more than that again, and we can't sustain it.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, it can't be said, too many times. We can't afford to do nothing. I thought the president really took it to him last night, didn't you, when he said, look, those of you that voted for the Bush tax cuts, you know, are the ones that put us in this hole, and that cost however much, twice as much as this, and that wasn't even paid for.
Yeah, and that really put it in context in terms of, you know, how it related to other things we had done in the past. Stephanie, I'm unfortunately going to have to scoot because
okay.
They have bells going off for votes,
yes.
And I've got to run over to the Capitol.
Oh, like that's more important. All right, Congressman Russ Carnahan.
Always great to talk with you.
You too, sir.
We look forward to being with you again.
You too. All right, there he goes. Whatever. Some kind of vote.
Bills to vote
some
on,
kind of vote to get stuff that we're actually talking about on the fart joke show. Okay, whatever. All right. Uh-oh, more bad news for Republicans. The American Medical Association endorsing Obama-style health reform.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
Hide the kids.
Yes. They wrote, on behalf of America's physicians and their patients, we strongly urge you to reach agreement this year on health system reforms. Those who are currently insured, including Medicare patients, and those who are uninsured will all benefit from greater security and stability. We reaffirm our commitment to work with each of you to adopt and implement health system reforms that will benefit all Americans. I remember right-wing Kay that I ran into on my vacation in Utah. She's
yes.
like, the doctors don't like it. None of the doctors want it. The doctors don't like the doctor. I don't want the government becoming me, between me and my
Medicare.
42 minutes after. Yes, she was on Medicare.
Yes.
42 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on the president's big speech as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Party, dance everybody, make it hot. In this party, don't stop, move your body. Rock this party, dance everybody, make it hot. In this party,
everybody dance now.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm not lying. Swear to God. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Vaughn in Aurora, Illinois. Hello, Vaughn.
Hello, Steph.
Hi.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Just to comment on the complete and utter lack of respect shown by some of the congressmen and such last night for the speech. When George W. Bush got a shoe thrown at him.
Yes.
I did not care that they threw a shoe at George W. Bush. However, I was outraged that someone threw a shoe at the President of the United States.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, the attitude last night seems that they have complete and utter contempt for both the office and the man. And I think on a public stage, they should at least have the courtesy, the class, to show some respect to the office, if not to the gentleman holding it.
Yes, exactly.
And I was just appalled.
Yep, exactly.
And I think you're right. The gentleman shouting out like that was a blessing in disguise.
Well, exactly. Although,
exactly what they are, and totally pointed out the president's point of the lies and the shenanigans they've had to put up with.
Right. Although, Vaughn, in the Isn't It Ironic file, as I mentioned earlier, George Bush on the WND speech, technically lying.
Yes.
Although no one pointed that out, because that would be rude. All right.
Lynn Woolsey wanted to.
Starting an unnecessary war.
Yes, go ahead. Start the illegal war. Yeah, that's fine. All right. David in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
First-time caller. Hey, I would just like to know, actually, by all legal aspects, who gives the federal government the right to even be doing what they're doing when it violates the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights?
Wait. What are you talking about?
The federal government has no control over the free states unless the power was given to them by an amendment to the Constitution.
The government has no right to be doing what? Are you referring to?
Running the free states' right to control their own commerce. They have no right. All this insurance stuff that they're doing in this country when it comes to automobile insurance, it's all an illegal act of government. The federal government has no control over the free states.
We shouldn't force people to have car insurance, is what you're saying.
The free states shall have the right in order to do it to their people. But the federal government, if you read the Constitution, they have no control over the free states.
But the federal government can withhold funding from the states. That's how they get things done.
They have no right to control anything.
They have a right to withhold funds.
Yeah, that's control.
Funds that they have the right to control is income tax.
Because they collect it.
They only have the right to tax you for the money they need to use in order to run the federal government.
The federal government has
stuck it up the people's butts.
How do you think they got a national 55-mile-an-hour speed limit through? They withheld highway building funds.
That's the federal government being up people's butts by making sure everyone has car insurance?
Yes.
By taxing them.
You won't feel that way about what's up your butt if you get rear-ended and the person has no car insurance.
Well, the federal government has nothing to do with making sure you have car insurance. That is a state's thing.
Okay. And now, back to the show. Yeah. John in Los Angeles.
It's just one of those loons that doesn't think the federal government has any role in anything.
John in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I think that was what they call a tenther.
you are right. You are right. There's a new movement called the Tenthers, claiming the Tenth Amendment, the federal government has no rights.
Yes. Well, he got his wishes there would be no roads because the government would have built them so no one would need car insurance because we wouldn't have cars because we wouldn't have roads.
There'd be no interstate.
Let me make sure I'm understanding the Republican rules correctly. If the Speaker of the House calmly accuses the CIA of making false statements to Congress, that's outrageous and beyond the pale.
Mm.
But you can interrupt a President of the United States giving a speech to a joint session of Congress by yelling out, "You lie."
Mm-hmm.
Is that the rule?
Yes, that's the rule. That's the Republican rule.
And the CIA did lie, by the way.
Well, there's that, too. Okay. All right. Just saying the president's whole speech on, Bush's whole speech on WMD, just saying.
Yep.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Technically.
You're a lying sack of
historically.
Crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Okay. The boner yesterday. Did he throw the fake Republican plan down on the floor of the House or no? Did he have
what happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But we don't have time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What a clown.
Did he just sit there looking orange, as he normally does?
Yes.
Yeah, he... He was a little grumpy. He says even without a public insurance option, there's little reason for Republicans to back the rest of the bill.
It's not at the top of our list.
I think the American people have made it pretty clear that they don't really want another lecture. They want a new plan.
Yeah.
No. Okay, then offer one. Nothing? Okay.
He said, let's understand the public option. It's not the only bitter pill in the plan. He said, it's really time to stop, hit the reset button, sit down in a bipartisan way to make our health care system better.
You had plenty of time to act in a bipartisan way.
He
rejected everything.
He then dodged questions about whether House Republicans plan to put a specific plan forward. He said, I think the ball's in the president's court. Well, I think the president hit that ball out of the court field thing.
Whatever.
Got a hat trick.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Down the field goal.
I loved this story yesterday before the speech. Going into the speech, Republicans believe momentum has shifted their way.
How do they figure that?
Eric Cantor, who didn't even listen to the speech, said clearly the bar is very high for President Obama.
And I bet they believe in 6-foot invisible rabbits, too.
Seems to me the president pole vaulted over the
over
the bar. Although Eric Cantor wouldn't know, he was rudely blackberrying the entire time.
Yes, he was tweeting, and then Sean Hannity had him on later on in the evening to ask what he thought of the speech, which he didn't listen to. So,
and then that's a big shock. What did he think?
Well, I didn't hear it, but I'm sure it was comedy.
It was bad
propaganda.
All right, Chuck in Minnesota, you're on the special Stephanie Miller show on the president's speech.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Morning.
I think we should bask in the glow of the moment. It was a great speech, and then we should be vigilant because there are clever little devils on the other side. They're already coming up with something to whack us back. So it's like one of those games where you whack one and whack another.
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah,
exactly.
Whack-a-mole, yeah.
Exactly. I think the important thing is, what is Senator Caleb?
Kay Bailey Hutchison, the senior senator from Texas.
We don't want our health care hijacked.
Okay.
85% of the people in this country like their health care.
Right. And you can keep it.
Yes.
What's so hard to understand about that?
Okay. Speaking of Republican gals and guys and gals, who wants to have dinner with Sarah Palin?
Well, Keith Olbermann offered, but...
And
you have
Tad.
You have to pass some sort of litmus test, like not being Keith Olbermann.
Yeah, like, for instance, probably not working at MSNBC would be a start. With bids starting at $25,000. Oh,
I got that on me.
Yeah, I'd pay that in a heartbeat. Is Washington off a dinner for five with the former Alaska governor and her husband, Tad?
Tad!
The proceeds will go to Ride to Recovery, a charity that provides wounded veterans with bicycles. The auction opens Tuesday, will last for 10 days. Oh, also up for grabs, lunch with Karl Rove. Oh,
my gosh. Threw up in my mouth a little bit.
So Keith Olbermann is trying to get that dinner? Oh, that would be so awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
George in Seattle on the president's speech. Hello, George.
Hi. Well, I'll start by saying I'm a proponent of single payer.
Thank you.
And I was listening to the speech very carefully. Without the public option and with the commandment that we must buy insurance, I find it's basically a gift to the insurance companies.
Thank you. Yes.
And I also find that I can't afford it. And all this means is that I'm going to be a criminal if this goes through. I find this president to be the first president that can be loved in the last, since the Kennedys.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think he is, boy, I haven't felt what I felt watching that speech in quite some time for a president, Democratic or Republican. Senator Olympia Snow, speaking of the public option.
People are rightly skeptical of a government-run health care system and government interfering in medical decisions. And so I would hope that we could take it off the table. Understanding is very important on this side, but it is another way of achieving that consensus sooner. It might accelerate the process and build momentum and refine the debate in moving in a different direction than reinventing the wheel and the public option, where there's no support among Republicans, and even, there is not support for it among Democrats in the House and in the Senate.
But if you force people to buy private insurance they can't afford, what have you accomplished?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Except make the insurance companies even richer.
I still believe, like the president, in the that we will get health care reform done with a public option. All right, that's it for us today. John Fugelsang joins us tomorrow on the big show. See you then on the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll